What I would like to speak with you about is the logic or the economic and social logic of the perpetuation of the Israeli occupation of the West Bank or the Palestinian territories. Let's begin with some political facts. The last elections in Israel that were held last year give us quite good understanding of what is happening in Israeli politics. The upper three deciles of the Israeli voters voted for the left, that is to say, Meretz and the Machane Tzioni or Avodah. The seventh voted half for the left, half for the right. The sixth, fifth, and fourth deciles voted mainly for the right, mainly for the Likud. The first, second, and third deciles voted either for the Arabs or for the Haredi. That is to say, the Israeli left, Meretz and the Avodah, are parties that are representing the interests of the upper classes of Israeli society. And the lower, middle-lower classes voted systematically for the right, for Netanyahu. Now, this is the puzzle of Israeli politics, because we know Netanyahu is a neoliberal that has dismantled the Israeli welfare state, that privatized everything, that has extended the gaps, the social gaps, the economic gaps in Israel. So the question is, how come that the lower classes or the lower deciles voted for Netanyahu and not for the left, which is only logical, they will do, but they don't. In order to understand this puzzle, and the Israeli commentators are extensively dealing with this question, there are two main answers. One is that the lower classes are irrational. Well, they voted from a plethora of religious, ethnic, nationalistic, anti-Arab motives, and their hatred to the Arabs or their Jewish feelings are covering their rationality, and that's why they're voting from the 70s to the right. The other answer is that what I'm going to suggest to you is that the lower classes that are voting for the right are extremely rational, and they are doing what they understand to be the best option that they have in the current affairs of Israel. By supporting the right, they are supporting the perpetuation of the occupation. And the occupation is, of course, the settlements. In order to understand this analysis, we have to understand the basic fact of Israeli politics in the last 40 years is the simultaneously of neoliberal policies and the perpetuation of the occupation. The occupation is not standing alone. It's a byproduct or another facet of Israeli neoliberalism. And in order to understand why there is no political force in Israel that can change these matters, we have to understand what is the meaning of neoliberalism in Israel. The main thing that the neoliberalism has done in Israel is dismantling the welfare state and privatization of the social services, mainly education, health, and so on. Now, what is the meaning of privatization? It's turning social services from civil rights into commodities. The commodification of the social services meant that the upper classes could buy these privatized services with their surplus money, but the lower classes couldn't afford to buy this service. What was the way that the lower classes tackled this problem? They sectoralized themselves. They became sector. You know, we are very often speaking about it, that Israeli society is divided into Haredim, Arabs, religious, non-religious, Russians, and so on and so forth. But we have to understand that this map of Israeli society was produced by the privatization. Because when the welfare state was dismantled, the lower classes, in order to get some of the privatized services, became sector. That means they were organized around sort of an identity, ethnicity, religion, and used this ethnicity, religion to form a political force. The most known example is, of course, Shas. Shas was formed in the 80s. There was no Shas for the 80s. Of course, the Russians, of course, the Arabs, the Israeli Arabs, you know, Israeli are complaining all the time that the Arabs became more and more nationalistic and so on. But they are doing the most Israeli thing that they can do. They sectoralized themselves. and they become sectors by uniting themselves around Islam or Palestinian nationalism. And through this identity politics, they get political power and try by this political power to get some sort of social services from the state or from private donors. It depends. This is the story of the Haredim, of Shas, of the Arabs, of course, of the Russians. That's why Israel became, under neoliberalism, a sort of a confederation of hostile sectors. And the middle class, the Chiloni, secular middle class, is becoming sectorized as well. And you have parties like Yesh Atid, but Meretz and Avoda as well. They're representing the interest, in this case, of the upper class. Now, one of the main forms or the main sectors in Israel is the settlement. When the Likud came to power in Israel in the late 70s, there were in the territory something like 6,000 settlers. That's all. Today we have 400,000 settlers. That is to say that we have a constant emigration of Israeli from sovereign Israel into the occupied territories. And the question is why they emigrate. Now, the answer is very simple. The welfare state that was dismantled in sovereign Israel was rebuilt in the occupied territories in the form of the settlement. What the settlement offers is not an ideology of greater Israel. What they should suggest to most of the emigrants who come to the settlement is good education, good housing, good health, municipal services, and so on. What they can't afford in sovereign Israel, they can afford in the territory. The state that don't give these services in sovereign Israel give these services in the settlement. That's why most of the settlers are emigrating to the territories. There is a gross mistake that saying that most of the settlers are Gush Emunim or something like it. It's a mistake. Most of the settlers are lower class Israelis who left the neighborhood in the townships in north of Israel, in central Israel, in southern Israel, and went to the territories because they couldn't afford their cheaper housing, they got their better education, and so on. So, from social and economic perspective, the territories are the place that poor Israelis or low-class Israelis or lower middle-class Israelis can find the services, social services, the welfare state or the substitution of the welfare state that they can't find in sovereign Israel. That is to say that, like all the other sectors, the settlement has become a compensatory mechanism for lower-class Israelis. And this compensatory mechanism is the explanation why most low-class Israelis support the Likud. Because, on one hand, the Likud is dismantling the welfare state, it abolishes itself, it's widening all the time the economic, social economic gaps in Israel. That's right. It's building the Israeli tycoons or the super Israeli super-rich. That's right. But at the same time, they suggest the lower classes this compensatory mechanism of either the sector of Shas or of the settlement. By the way, there is convergence of these two compensatory mechanisms. For example, Shas, or Rabbi Ovadia Yosef, who in the 70s and the 80s and the beginning of the 90s, preached dovish policies of leaving the territories and so on and so forth, in the beginning of the 2000s, he changed his mind and said that Israel should not withdraw from the territories. He has a very interesting halachic explanation for that, but I will give you another explanation, and this explanation is that his supporters began to emigrate in mass numbers into the settlements. Nowadays, for example, more than half of the settlers are Haredim, and that's why the Haredi parties in Israel become more and more hawkish and supporting of Netanyahu. So we have in Israel this pattern of right-wing policies, of neoliberal policies, that suggest people who suffer from these policies, they suggest them a compensatory mechanism. Now let's go to the left. The Israeli left has become neoliberal as well. If you are looking at the history of the Ha'avodah and Meretz parties in Israel, there were great supporters of all sort of privatization. Just to remind you that Yitzhak Rabin, for example, was the great privatizer of the health system, of the trade unions, and Meretz, for example. Amnon Rubinstein was the person who was responsible for the privatization of Israeli higher education system. So there is not that great difference in terms of economic and social policy. There is no great difference between the Israeli left as it was, or as mainly it is today, and the right-wing parties. On the contrary, the left and the right in Israel held neoliberal policy. And that's, by the way, it explains why in the 90s and until 2006, in Israel we had some sort of governments of national unity. What was the national unity? The national unity was based on privatization on one hand, and they defer on the future of the territories, but it wasn't that pressing. It was irrelevant for that time. So the governments of national unity were the examples of the idea of the left and the right supporting these neoliberal policies. But what was the difference between the right and the left? That the Israeli left didn't suggest any compensatory mechanism. On contrary, it attacked now the neoliberal policies of the right. And that I can tell you from my own experience with many debates that I had with people in Avodah and Meretz about this same thing. Well, they didn't criticize the idea of privatization or of enlarging the gaps, but the left attacked all the compensatory mechanisms. The left attacked the settlements and the sectors. So from the point of view of the lowest classes, of the lower deserts in Israel, there is the reality of neoliberal privatized economy on one hand, but there is the right to suggest compensatory mechanisms, and the left who suggests nothing. On the contrary, it attacks all the time the compensatory mechanisms of the right. That's why it is very logical and very understandable why the lower classes support the right, because the left, for them, represent the interest of the higher classes, who indeed, for the time being, by the way, don't need these compensatory mechanisms. So the left, all the time, is representing the interest of the upper three deciles. The lower classes vote for the right, and that, of course, give the right the strength to perpetuate the occupation, because it has this massive support, as we saw in last elections. It has this massive support of the lower classes, of the lower middle classes. Now, what is the solution to all that? I think that what we in what might be called the Israeli social democracy, the new social democracy, and what we suggest is that we have to have to complement our demand for state solutions, we have to complement it with very strict policies of new welfare state that will give many Israelis, from the poor classes or the middle lower classes and so on, they will give them fair education, fair housing, and so on. And we are doing it also by unionizing. There is a massive movement of unionizing in Israel, and of course, in some way, this unionization will give a power to some sort of an alternative Israeli left. The problem, or the main thing that I think that comes out from what I suggest, from the solutions, from the analysis that I suggest, is what Israel needs is a new left. No, the old left is speaking about peace now, that is peace speaking about waiting to peace in order to correct all the social evils in Israel. On the contrary, we have, in order to gain the support of the lower class, and this is the only way that the Israeli left will sometime get the power and will form the government. In order to get support of the lower classes, we have to suggest something that will give them an interest in the left, and that is to say this new welfare state. But, of course, the idea of this new welfare state is is contrasted by the upper classes that are supporters of the left. So the Israeli left is held in a vicious circle that it represents the higher class. That's why it is neoliberal. Because it is neoliberal, you have no answer to the lower classes who are supporting all the time the right, use the support in order to perpetuate the occupation and to end this vicious thing that we have to form, as with what we are doing in the last years, we are trying to do, is to form a new left and a social democratic left that will suggest an end to this vicious circle of the Israeli left. And by putting an end to this vicious circle, hopefully we will be able to enhance the idea of the two-state solution and so forth. By the way, this has many ramifications also for Israeli democracy. For as long as we'll occupy the territories, it undermines the democracy, but this is another story.